quite a few weeks in this one short verse. This morning we wrap up our study of the verse with a focus on the title, Everlasting Father. Please read it with me, if you will. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today we come to study one of these prophesied names of Jesus that appears to be a major oxymoron. Now you know what an oxymoron is, don't you? It's not a silly cow. It's a figure of speech in which opposite or contradictory ideas or terms are combined. Let me give you a couple examples. Thunderous silence. That's an oxymoron because they seem to contradict each other. How about this one? Sweet sorrow. Or cruel love. Or friendly fire. Or political promise. These are oxymorons. They just don't fit. Well, today we're going to examine one of the names of Jesus that appears to be an oxymoron. And it is the name Everlasting Father. Now think about it. How can one person be both a child to be born and the Everlasting Father at the same time? How can someone who is everlasting be in a time-bound body? These are good questions. I think we need to pray. Let's do that. Lord, we ask that as we look into your word this morning to discover your truth, we pray that your Spirit will take the truth that is wrapped up in this passage and make it spring to life. Help us see and hear and perceive as perhaps we never have before. And in the seeing and the perceiving, Lord, we pray that the truth will sink so deep into our hearts that it will change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Jesus was asked by his disciples to teach them to pray, he started with Our Father. Now the word that is translated Father is not so much Father in the English language. A better equivalent in the English would be our Daddy. The term that he used in the Aramaic was very much a term of endearment. It had deep love and contained both great respect, but primarily deep affection. It's the term that a child uses when it runs into the room, jumps up on its daddy's lap, throws its arms around his neck, and says, Daddy, I love you. That's the term that Jesus used when he said we were supposed to talk to God and address him as our Daddy, our Father. Now, for those of you who have spoken the Lord's Prayer for many, many years, it may be second nature to you, this may not be very unique. But I want you to understand the context in which Jesus spoke these words and the many people today who have some concept of God. This is very, very foreign. To approach God in such an intimate way is almost unorthodox and in some ways blasphemous. Many people have a concept of God, even God being great and mighty, but God being removed, God being distant, God being awesome, but not God being close and intimate. And here Jesus said, when you talk to him, address him as our heavenly Daddy. Now we tend to take our earthly experiences, because of that, for some people this is going to be an uncomfortable thought. Your concept of fatherhood has probably been marred or twisted by your personal experience. All of us have had earthly fathers who were less than perfect. Your father may have abandoned you. He may have berated you. He may have cut you up. He may not have had time for you, or some other quirk or kink in his personality or style. And what we tend to do is we tend to take those characteristics of our earthly father, and then we magnify them and assume that God is the same except on a greater scale. And no wonder some people don't want to have anything to do with God. Other people may have had fathers who are good fathers, even great fathers, but they're still far from perfect. Some of you are fathers here this morning. And if you ever wonder whether or not you're a perfect father, just have somebody ask your kids. the truth will quickly come out. None of us are perfect fathers. And so all of us who are children have had fathers who are less than perfect. Some people, even who have had good fathers, good earthly fathers, even the best possible fathers, have a major problem, and that is this. Even good earthly fathers don't last. They don't stay around for a long time. Some of you were here for the funeral we had in this very facility yesterday. The hearts of many in our community were torn as we had to go through a memorial service for Mike Westgaard. On Tuesday morning, Mike was getting ready for work in the shower when he suddenly collapsed. And right now, his wife Shelley and their two daughters, Heidi and Whitney, are on a jet somewhere flying back to Wyoming to have the funeral. Now, I understand from those I've talked to, I didn't know Mike well, but I understand from those I talked to that Mike was a good dad. He loved his kids and he wanted to provide for them and be the best possible dad he could be. But unfortunately, Mike's body shut down early. And so this morning, two little girls don't have a daddy. And I must admit, dear friends, that this has been hard on me this week. I've done many funerals as a pastor, but this one just kind of hit me. Mike was 41 years old. I'm already past that. And it made me realize how short life can be at the best of times. Now, some of you here this morning have had fathers similarly leave you untimely by dying early in your life. Others left you by divorce. Still others left because they were just too busy with other things in life. Many of you still have fathers who are alive, but the distance from them prevents them from having any significant impact in your life. But when we consider the kind of homes we come from and the fatherhood experiences we've had, it forces or it begs the question, what kind of a father is God? What kind of a parent is He to us? Well, look again at this chapter, or at this verse, dear friends. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Our Daddy who art in heaven, dear friends, is also everlasting. He is eternal. In other words, he has no beginning, he has no end. Time as we know it is a created function within the boundaries of the being of God. God is in the past. God is in the future. God is in the present. He is in all facets of time at the same time. All of them dwell in the eternal now for Him. For God to foretell the future is as simple as you and me telling the past. He sees it all. He is eternal. Now with that understanding that the nature of God is eternal, no beginning, no end, and everything in time as we know it is instantly visible before Him. If we understand that, do you think that God wrings His hands wondering what tomorrow is going to bring? Do you think God is ever in a flap worried about what might happen in 10,000 years? Do you think God is ever worried or concerned or has any upset stomach over what might be taking place? No, He is eternal. And because He is eternal, dear friend, He is absolutely 100% secure. He has no worries. He has no fears, no concerns, no anxiety attacks. He has no trouble about anticipating what might come in the future. He is the everlasting, eternal Father. Now think about it. With that understanding, think of what that means for how God will parent us. Because God is eternal, He has no concerns about the future. He's already been there. He has no needs, no worries, no fears, no weak ego, no selfish streak. He is absolutely secure. And because He is secure, dear friend, He doesn't have to work extra hours to be away from us. Because He is secure, He doesn't have to chase the praise of men and avoid His family. Because He is secure, He is free to lavish His praise on us. Because He is secure, He is satisfied in Himself and He doesn't have to run around looking for His own needs to be met. He is available 100% of the time to pour his life into you and me. Because he is secure, he's not out there looking for people to massage his ego. He is spending his entire time looking for how to minister to his children. Do you see that about God? This is the eternal Father. And if you doubt that that is precisely what God is, then look again at this verse. Who is being described here as the eternal Father? Who is it who is described as this daddy who was eternal? Who is eternal? This prophecy, this entire prophecy, as we've seen clearly in the last number of weeks, is a crystal clear reference to Jesus Christ the Messiah. Do you see it? Our everlasting Father was so committed to properly parenting us that he stripped himself of all of his glory, of all of his power, of all of the honor and praise that he is worthy of. He set that all aside, and he came down here in flesh because he wanted you and me to see with our own eyes the glory of his security that was completely unattached to anything the world has to offer. He wanted us to hear with our own ears the wisdom of his counsel, even though it directs us away from most of what the world pursues. And he wanted us to experience with our own hearts the wonder of his selfless sacrifice, even though it goes against everything the world values. He came here, dear friends, to take you and me in his arms, into his heart, into his life. And when he saw that the load of sin on your back and on mine was keeping us from God, was separating us from him, was weighing us down, he went to the cross of Calvary specifically to take that load off your shoulders, out of your heart, out of your mind, remove it from your emotions, from your past, all the way sin has damaged you. He went to Calvary to pay the brunt and the penalty for that damage and that sin. That's why he went there. And this Jesus who died for us, who descended into hell to pay for our sins, who rose in triumph over the grave, who ascended to glory, is not just a nice man. He's not just a prophet. He is not just one of God's good sons. Dear friends, this one who obtained your salvation with his blood is the one who from eternity past has had you on his heart. You are his child. He is your father. And he spared absolutely no expense to get you back in his embrace. The only questions that remain on this issue have to do with our response. Have you run back into the arms of your everlasting Father? Or are you still wandering away out there doing your own thing? Do you appreciate his eternal love? Or do you presume upon it and take it for granted? Do you draw from his unlimited resources? Or are you constantly trying to make it on your own? Do you seek his timeless counsel? Or do you follow the ways of the world? Do you ever throw your arms of love around him? I know you can't do it physically, but in your spirit, do you ever just want to throw your arms of love around him and look into his eyes and say, Father, Daddy, thank you for all you've done for me? How do you respond to your eternal Daddy? It will always be an oxymoron to our human mind. But the Bible declares that the one true living God, eternal Father, appeared in flesh as the Son and purchased our redemption. Do I understand it? No. Well, one thing I know, I'm going to not let this limited noggin prevent me from running into his arms and enjoying his embrace. Do you know the Eternal Father this morning? Please join me in prayer. Lord, we're conscious this morning when we think of this idea of fatherhood. We're very much aware that so many people in this life are in pain because of our experiences with fatherhood. Some here in this building today, Lord, have not had fathers be significant parts of their lives. They may have been there, but for whatever reason, they weren't there a lot, or the part they played was minimal. Lord, I pray for those individuals that you would help them realize that you are not a God who is distant and preoccupied, but that you want very much to be involved in the details of their lives. Lord, I pray this morning for those who were adopted or fostered or abandoned. Lord, I pray that as their concept of fatherhood has been so twisted by their sense of rejection, I pray, Lord, that you would flow into the depths of their heart with your Spirit and erase those painful memories, and instead remind them that you said you would be a father to the fatherless and you would take up that place and parent them. I pray that you will draw them into your embrace, Lord Jesus, and let them know how much you love them. Lord, we pray for those whose fathers have died, either at a young age or at old age, but who now have no physical father to whom they can relate to. Lord, I ask that you again would fill that hole in the lives of these people. Lord Jesus, our hearts especially go out this morning to Heidi and Whitney Westgard. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that even though they're so young and can't comprehend the significance of their loss at this point, we ask that you would somehow wrap them in your arms of love and care for them and be real, tangibly real to them as their Heavenly Father, and that you would grant Shelley the wisdom she needs to know how to be, I guess, both mom and dad during these days of transition. Lord, in a similar line, we think of parents who have lost children and know the agony of that parting. We pray that you would minister to their hearts and souls today as well. We think of the Bokrell family who are still grieving the loss of Christian, especially as his birthday would have been tomorrow. Lord, we ask you to fill their hollow with your special love and care. Lord, this morning we pray for those who have been blessed to have good fathers in this life. We pray that they would realize what they've had and cherish that and make responsible actions toward affirming those fathers that they still have, and to bless them, and to carry on the heritage of good fathering. We pray for those this morning, Lord, who need to discover you as their father, regardless of their earthly experience. If they're apart from you, Lord, they need to know you. And we ask that you would remove whatever barriers there are that keep them from you this morning, and cause them literally to run into your embrace and to discover that you are far more willing to forgive them for their sin than they may be to admit them. And so help them to deal with those issues that are preventing them from coming to you, to confess those sins, to admit their wrongs, and to run into your embrace. Lord, we also think this morning of those who would proclaim to be your children, who say they know you, who even claim to love you, but who don't love you, who don't listen to you, who don't treat you as an honored father. Lord, we pray that if there are some of those among us this morning, that you by your Spirit would deal with us deeply and severely, and cause us either to refuse to call ourselves by your name, or if we do, to live and honor you as we should, as our eternal Father. Lord, regardless of where we're coming from this morning, we pray that you would help us remember again and remember afresh how much you love us. For Lord, when we concentrate in our love for you, it always fluctuates, it always goes up and down. But this morning we choose to remember that as our eternal Father, you have expressed to us an eternal love. Help us drink it into its full. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.